From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is Cool Science Radio.
Science and technology that's accessible and entertaining.
If we can understand it, you can understand it.
I'm Lynn Ware Peake.
And I'm John Wells. Our guest this morning, astronaut Colonel Mike Fink. We taped this conversation with Colonel Fink the day before the successful launch on November 15th. Here now is that taped conversation.
Welcome back to Cool Science Radio. I'm John Wells. I'm here with Lynn Ware Peake. Now, the Commercial Crew Program is the start of a new era of space exploration. Tomorrow night, NASA, in collaboration with SpaceX, will launch what is known as Crew One. This will be the first fully crewed and operational commercial mission to the International Space Station. Today, we have joining us NASA astronaut Colonel Mike Fink to talk about this historic launch and what it means for the future of human space exploration. Colonel Fink, welcome to Cool Science Radio.
Thank you. It's great to be on Cool Science Radio this morning.
Well, it's great to have you on. Now, I understand that Crew One launch was slated for sometime today, but weather delays from Tropical Storm Eta that affected SpaceX drone ship recovery operations kind of got in the way. And we got to get the drone ship out there in the right position so that you can repackage this. And I think you have another liftoff scheduled for sometime in March. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's the secret sauce, the special power that SpaceX has is that they reuse their first stage boosters, and that's millions of dollars worth of tanks and engines and electronics. And we used to throw most of our rockets away; they splash down in the ocean and never to be seen again. And SpaceX, Elon and his company, they're able to take the booster and land it. With precision landing on a barge in the middle of the ocean, and then they kind of refurbish it, check it out, and then add more gas and launch again. So we're hoping to use this booster again for another crewed mission coming up, like you said, in March or April.
It's just incredible to watch those boosters come down. It's really kind of taken from Flash Gordon, where they have the reverse of the rockets, and it's just fascinating.
Well, it's what's really neat about it is we have that, somebody had the imagination to think of this. Hey, that would be really cool if we could do this. And that's what we engineers, that's what we do. We take these ideas and we make them real. And when I was in school, I didn't know what engineers did, but now I do. And we're looking forward to making more of our imaginary dreams into reality. It's not easy, but it's a lot of fun.
Michael, you mentioned that when the booster lands back, it's one of the most fascinating feats of engineering I've seen, or physics. And you mentioned that they're refurbished a bit. How many times are the boosters projected to be able to be reused?
Well, SpaceX is examining that. They had some ideas that they could use them two or three times. And I think they've actually used one up to six times so far. Now, of course, the more times you use it, the more chances that you're getting close to the end of life of some of these high-speed rocket engine parts. And so it gets a little bit more risky. So we're not going to put people on these refurbished ones six or seven times yet until we can prove that that's a really good idea. So I think what SpaceX is doing is they're experimenting to see what they can get. And that's how we do science. That's how we do engineering. Lots of experiments, a lot of testing.
Colonel Fink, what is the significance of this launch?
Well, this is really cool because this is a launch that NASA is not in charge of. Now, of course, we're an invested partner. We have a ability to say no, time out. But it's really SpaceX that's doing the launch and the landing for us. And so this allows NASA engineers to not, I'll say worry, but we can now focus, instead of sending people up to the International Space Station, we can focus on sending people to the moon. And so we're getting ready. It allows our engineering and science teams to focus on the Artemis mission, which is coming up next year with our big, Space Launch System, SLS rocket, the biggest rocket ever. At least for now, and it's going back to the moon, and these are exciting times.
If you're just joining us on Cool Science Radio, we're speaking with NASA astronaut Colonel Michael Fink. It looks like International Space Station that we're rotating through crews about every 6 months. I'm wondering, is it just because, well, 6 months is a long time to be away from your family, or is there some physiological reason that 6 months seems to be the limit?
The 6 months is a long time to miss our families. And but yeah. We've had a few folks stay up longer than 6 months. We've had Scott Kelly and Christina. They stayed up almost a year. Peggy Whitson stayed up a long time too. But 6 months is what the Soyuz, which has been our taxi ship up and down to the International Space Station, that's how long it could last. So when we made our requirements for our new spacecraft, we said, yeah, 6 months is about right. Because the spaceship stays up there with us. It's our lifeboat in case we need to come back home in an emergency.
Colonel Fink, I'm fascinated by your background, extensive background. And I just wanted to ask you about one thing. Right after you graduated from MIT in 89, you attended a summer exchange program with the Moscow Aviation Institute in the former Soviet Union, where you studied cosmonautics. Can you tell us about that experience?
Wow, what an interesting summer 1989 had. We all can remember that. For me, I got to spend a summer in this place called Soviet Union. That country doesn't exist anymore. The biggest part of Soviet Union was Russia, and so I spent some time in Russia in Moscow in 1989. I studied Russian in college because I knew that they had a space program, the Soviet Union, and it was very exciting. And little did I dream that a few years later, and it was really not that much longer, that I'd be sitting on a Russian-made spacecraft on Yuri Gagarin's launch pad. So I guess my message is that was a great opportunity to go learn something new. I really learned how to speak Russian because it was immersive, and having that extra skill allowed me to achieve my dreams. So, and boy, it was really cool. Two Russian space launches, six Russian spacewalks, and all just because I was lucky to pick a foreign language and study it and learn to be really good at it.
That's just fascinating. So many questions come out of that. In that time, it would seem that Russia was fairly protective of its aviation secrets, and the level of distrust at that point also may have played into it.
Yeah, the Cold War was certainly still going on at the time, but they had a new premier, Comrade Gorbachev, and he tried to open up the Soviet Union just a little bit, and so that was why nobody else had really gone over for an exchange program like we did, because this was the door opening up a little bit of crack. I think we called it glasnost.
And the Artemis program is just the beginning of what we're going to be doing on the moon. We're going to be setting up a base there. Do we understand the sun well enough to know how to protect our astronauts while they're up there for long periods of time?
Yeah, that's that's one of the fundamental questions that we have is how long can we keep people in space? In fact, that 1 year mission that we had was really trying to see how long people can have them off the planet. How long, radiation effects we're very sensitive to. We visited the moon before, but those were only a few days at a time. But if we want people to be living on the moon, we need to understand the radiation effects that they're going to get, and also the effect of 1/6 gravity. Is that good for us or not? Will it help us so we don't have bone loss that we see in zero gravity? So there's a lot of really cool questions that we're going to answer by going to the moon. And one of the real tricks that we think we're going to do is shield ourselves by building underground. So you see some of these artist conceptions of bases on the moon on top, little buildings on top of the moon. I think we're going to be spending most of our time under the lunar surface, what we call the regolith, under the moon dust and living there, because that'll protect us. Now, of course, I'm sure we'll have some buildings above, but we'll spend a lot of time underneath because that will protect us from the solar radiation for sure.
Before we let you go, I just have to ask you, I know you're currently training for a crew flight test. Tell us about that.
So we spent a little bit of time talking about SpaceX and their cool Falcon 9 rocket and their capsule. NASA is also working with another company called the Boeing Company. You know them. They do lots of really cool things, including some airplanes such as the 747, the 787, and things like that. So most people have been on an airplane and have flown a Boeing product. So Boeing said, why not have a spaceship too? So they came up with the Starliner. It's a very fine capsule. It has great automation, and we're working on, and it also has lots of ability for us to take over manually. So it's been a pleasure and a treat to get to be on a first flight of a brand new spacecraft. I mean, this is what every test pilot dreams of, and I went to test pilot school, and I'm excited and thrilled. It's also a lot of work because things aren't invented yet. They say, how's training going? It's like, we don't even, how the computers completely work yet, or we don't know how this system completely works. So it's hard to train somebody when the thing is still being built. But that's what we do in the flight test world. So going on an experimental test flight on a new spacecraft is really exciting. The rocket we're going to launch on is the Atlas V. Atlas V is a trusty, workhorse. It's a great rocket, and it's been super safe so far. The Air Force uses it for all their super secret satellites, and when they will have high value payloads. And I look at my crewmates, and I think, yeah, we're probably high value payloads too.
And that was Colonel Mike Fink. What a nice conversation. Thanks for tuning in to Cool Science Radio.
If you enjoyed this episode, please rate us, give us a 5, and leave us a comment.
Take us along on your next adventure to the moon.
If you have any story ideas, please let us know at coolscienceradio@kpcw.org.
Thanks for listening, and hey, tune in next week.